These parashat ki tetzeh and the Haftorah, which is the reading from the prophets, Isaiah 54, verse 1 through 10. And I found the inspiration came from that. Well, I tell you, the name of the message is the first four words of Isaiah 54, verse 1. It's written in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 to 14. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. The word there, Shema. I'll Shema to you. Verse 13, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Verse 14, then I will be found by you, says Adonai. And I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai. And I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as captives into exile. Let me give a little background. It's imperative that I give background for those of you who have been with me a long time. You repeating yourself, yes. It's a new semester. There's new people listening, new people here that not have heard. And for us to say it, you know, and not bring you up to date, that would not be good. So a little background, bringing some of us up to date. When the month of Elul is the sixth month in the Hebrew calendar. When it began last Thursday evening, August 13th of 2026, it marked the start of a period called the month of repentance or return or tshuva. Okay? In modern Hebrew, tshuva means answer as well. So it's the month of repentance. It's what general meaning of Shabbat is, but tshuva also means to turn around and come back, because associated with repentance is returning back to Him. We went away from Him, we came back to Him. That's repentance. And also of answering, which is giving an account. To answer is to, and you know, to respond to the questions. The seventh month is called in the Hebrew calendar Tishri. Okay? And on the first day of the seventh month, which is Friday, September 11th this year, when the sun goes down on Friday, September 11th, okay, this is called in Leviticus 23, Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of the shofar. It also corresponds with the first day of the civil month in Israel. In the Israel calendar, this is the beginning of the year. Okay, just like January 1 is for America, the beginning of the year. Okay, and that the word for referring to the first of the year is Rosh, which stands for first, Hashanah, the first of the year. Literally, the first of the year. Okay, and then when you count from Tishri 1, first day of the seventh month, until the 10th day of the seventh month, okay, on the 10th day of the seventh month, we arrive, on that evening, we arrive at the festival of the feast called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. Okay, So those 10 days, Tishri 1 to Tishri 10, are called the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe. Okay? Together, this almost 40 days. Why do you say almost 40 days? Because in the Hebrew calendar, the way it's based on the sighting of the new moon, if that were the way it would be done today, instead of predicting it, it's the way, that means you have to see it. It's not good enough, okay, to know, because NASA tells us and the satellites tells us and all those things. It's not good enough to do that in the way it was given. There was no NASA. There was no none of that stuff. So they depended on two witnesses seeing the sliver of the new moon. So if it's like yesterday in Gainesville, it was like the day before in Gainesville, which was like the day before in Gainesville, you know, about 6 p.m., storms came in, and it turned dark, and it stayed dark. If it did not rain in your place in Alachua County, we are being blessed right now. Up to this point, all those cells tended to just bypass us. They got Michael's farm all the time. And those of you living in Alachua, you got hit all the time. You're still getting hit, but we are not, but now we are. So this week, all those cells came. And it turned dark. There was no way to see the moon. So completely clouded. So what would happen? You could not see the moon, that is. We know when to expect it, right? You actually see it waning and so on. You know that the lunation is 29 and a half days. They knew that back then. And so they knew that, okay, it's supposed to be. But 29 and a half days means that one month would be in the daytime and the other half would be in nighttime. So if you don't see it, if there's not any two people that would see it, then automatically the next day would be declared the first of the month. In that case, then Elul, what happened scientifically is that the new moon, okay, happen on nighttime. So the sliver would be seen, the first sliver would be seen in the daytime. Okay, how many of us saw the moon in the daytime? We didn't. Okay, so there was no expecting it to be that day, but didn't see it. That means that if you wait till the next day and it is, that's it. You don't have to see it then. So the month can have 29 days or can have 30 days. When you use the modern Hebrew calendar, it predicts what this is going to be. Okay, and the prediction is relatively accurate. It's not perfect. But because it predicts it, then it assigns in order to do 29 and a half. So you can get 29 and a half times 2. Is 59. Three sets of 59, 12 sets of 59. Okay? Six sets of 59, 12. So one month will have 29 days, the next one will have 30. 30 plus 29 makes 59. We don't have to deal with halves. Those of you that hated fractions, great. Okay, so because it does that in the modern Hebrew calendar, the month of Elul is always 29 days. But if we were using, we didn't have that methodology, or if Israel didn't have that methodology, they would depend on witnesses seeing the new moon, okay? But it was in the daytime. So they wouldn't have seen it. And they're expecting it on Thursday. They're expecting it on Wednesday. It didn't happen. They couldn't see it. So they would then say, add another day. That particular month would be, you say, well, wait a minute. If you add a day every month, well, no, it doesn't work that way. Because Because the moon is not paying attention to that. The moon and the earth are doing their thing. So, you know, so if you have to add a day, you know that you already advanced. You know that. So when you're counting, you start looking a day early. And if you see it, that's it. So it corrects, it self-corrects every other month. That's why in Judaism, it's called the 40 days of awe, the 40 days of Shuva, the 30 days of Elul, plus the 10 days in Tishri. 30 plus 10 makes 40. In the modern Hebrew calendar, it's 29 plus 10, 39. That clear as mud. Okay? These approximately 40 days have a name in the Hebrew world. They're called Yemei Ratzon. Yemei, which is Yemei is for Yom, is day, and Ratzon. What is Ratzon? Ratzon is a famous word. Okay? During the high holy days, there will be a number of times that you will heal me. Somebody will chant something, and I'll say, Vayihi Ratzon. May it be Ratzon. Ratzon means favor. Favor. Okay, so what? These 40 days are referred to as 40 days of favor. Why are they called the 40 days of favor? Because, okay, we know that he wrote about those days, specifically spent a whole chapter of Leviticus 23 about those days. In fact, the bulk of chapter 23 is about those three holidays, those three special convocation occasions in the month of Tishri. Okay? It says, though in those days, therefore, Adonai is attentive. What does that mean? Well, imagine that he has a reminder on his iPhone. And his reminder just went off to say, we're about to meet with you in 40 days. We're about to come and ask you to forgive us within 40 days. What does that mean? Well, another way to say that is he's more accessible because he's attentive, more attentive because he himself said, I'm going to do this meeting with you. It wasn't our idea. It was his idea. So we are on his calendar. The date is set on his calendar. Okay? That day is called the Day of Atonement. It says that that's the day, you can read that in Daniel, and we will quote Daniel on Yom Kippur, okay, that this is when the books are open, specifically the book of life, okay, is open before the Almighty. And he evaluates every person. So because that's what's going to happen, this day was set aside. It was his idea anyway. But this day was set aside so that we could come in as a nation, individuals and as a nation, and ask for forgiveness. It was set in the calendar. It's a national thing. In Israel, the entire country shuts down on this day. Nobody drives. The only cars that could be on the road are police cars and fire trucks and army cars if necessary. If you get on your car, the nation will tell you, they won't call the police. They'll actually go, the neighbors come in and say, not today. So because all the roads are free, including the interstate, including the main highways, one one practice that the families do on Yom Kippur is on the afternoon of Yom Kippur, after you're fasting anyway, the whole family will go to the streets and take to the streets and walk the neighborhoods, walk around the mountains, things like that. Walk. Okay? Not run, not exercise. It's to, the children just jump up and down because they can go in the street and nobody says, "Oh no, you can't go in the street," right? So it becomes that kind of day. We experienced that in Israel when we were there one of the years that we were there. Now, what does that mean to us who have accepted Messiah Yeshua? We know that we've been forgiven. We know that we have a high priest that intercedes for us all the time. We know that he has access to the Holy of Holies all the time. We know that we were, whatever day it was that you got saved, I remember the day I got saved. No, it's October 17th of 1978. And it was a Shabbat. So, we who have accepted Messiah Yeshua are reminded, this is a reminder, that the Almighty wants to ask a question of his people. How y'all doing? How you doing? Okay? In that day, those days, okay, reminds us that we need to evaluate what aspect of our walk might need reevaluation so that we can experience ratzon, blessing. This is really important because I've talked many times now in the last several years about Kol Simcha, a favor, to work in his favor. But here's the deal. We are reminded. These are the days going to be called the days of Yemei Ratzon, the days of favor. Is it just that we earned it and we earned it once and we don't have to earn it again? Or, is it one and done? And all those things. I tell you, there are people who think it's one and done. And there are lots of people who teach various things. I'm not one of those that goes, "Oh, Jane said that I'm okay." Because I can imagine going to the Lord and saying, he asking, "What about this?" "Oh, Jane said it was okay." "Well, Jane who? Who's in the court when we appear before the Almighty?" There's nobody, there's the deity is there. Say, okay, Yeshua's there, but the Father's there. And maybe the Holy Spirit is there. The deity is there. Who else? Ain't nobody else, just you. It's appointed once for a man to have judgment. Okay? And it's by yourself. Jane won't work. Mary Jane won't work. The candy. Remember Candy Mary Jane? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. If you go to Boone, North Carolina, and go to the Mass General store, you can buy Mary Janes. They were a penny when I was growing up. Now they're 10 cents. We need to reevaluate. Yeshua said, Paul said, that we need to evaluate ourselves so that we don't have to be judged. That we need to do an evaluation. So, in order for those days to become truly days of favor for us, as they were for the children of Israel, we need to check it out. We need to be able to answer the question, what about you? How are you doing? I know that in the United States, people, if you answer that question, people think you're weird. How you doing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. And, you know, wait a minute, I don't want to hear your story of your life. You know what I mean? But in this case, when he says, how are you doing? Oh, there will be an answer. And you have to give an answer. You have to give an answer or it'll be given for you. You replay. You'll just press a button, replay everything. In a fraction of a second, you'll see every a video that's been made of your entire life. And there are parts of that I'm like really, like maybe most of it, that I'm not like really proud of. Like, that one? You're going to show that one? Okay? So I think it's really important for us to realize that he already wrote in his calendar days for us to make it right, to get back on the track, so to speak. We don't need a revival. He already scheduled it. He already scheduled it. Okay? How do we do that? The word that we use is repent. Right? That was the word John the Baptist used. That was the word Yul Brynner used, you know, and the actors in the movies used. Repent! With power, okay? That's how we came to the Lord. We repented, right? That's what we said we did in that first prayer, the beginning. We need to repent. And we certainly ought to be taking care of things before we come to the day that he calls the day of reckoning. The day that he calls the day where I open the books. And you guys are saints and I'm not. So you're the saints and I'm not the saint. Just the teacher here, the rabbi. So if you give me 40 days, I can certainly screw it up. So, this is kind of a process for people like me. For these saints, maybe it's different. But for me, regular Tom, Dick, and Harry, okay, I've got to repent. I've got to check things out. Maybe I didn't get it right. There's in things that happen that in when people get things squared away and go back and review something that happened in the past, that there was some disagreement with somebody, and that gets reviewed. Most of the time, we think back, oh, that's when you were 90% wrong, and I was only 10%. And then they start talking, and you go, 11, 12, 30, 40. Start getting wet now. Starts to get to 48. Because, of course, if it's more than 50, then it was your fault. It's my fault. What's amazing about that is that when we review things, we typically change those assignments of who's in, we change them. You want to change them in the front of Yeshua and his dad and the Holy Spirit with the gavel right there? there's no other, I mean, this is it. Let's change it now before that happens. Okay? So we can repent now and turn away from those things that are standing in the way. Standing in the way of what? Of his favor and blessings. So then we can walk in the fullness of his grace. The grace doesn't mean unmerited favor. That's the definition of mercy. Grace doesn't mean unmerited favor. Grace means the desire and the power to do his will. The desire and the power to do what he wants done. So we can experience, and I looked up this word, colossal favor. That's what I'm after. Colossal favor. I could say big and colossal sounded. Oh, yeah, awesome. The rabbis in Judaism also teach that, therefore, in these times, Yemei Ratzon, the Almighty is more available and more attentive during the month of Elul. The scriptures that I just read you in Jeremiah 39, 29, what I read to start with, teaches us that we can seek the Almighty and we can find Him provided that we search for Him with all our heart. All our messed up heart, all our sad heart, or all of our, the fullness of the heart. Like what Gene is able to do right now. In fullness. It's all working. Amen? That's what you want. With all your heart, it means with all of it. So, I believe, therefore, that we're entering into the time when the Almighty is making it abundantly clear that we need to get closer to Him, that we need greater intimacy. These days called Yemei Ratzon, these days called the days before the High Holy Day, these days called the days of return and Shuvah. The purpose of that is to get closer to Him. The purpose is to have more intimacy. To at least practice for 40 days greater intimacy with Yah Adonai or Elohim. Getting close to Him is the only thing that will allow us to stay in tune to what He's wanting to do and what He's doing in this day. By intimacy, I mean, what do you mean by intimacy? I'm hanging onto His neck. We tend to do, okay, I'm intimate with my spouse. So I tackle her and go, okay, that what? Okay, by intimacy, I mean, this is defined for us. We need to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, and all our strength. And serve Him, which means do His bidding, do His stuff. Out of a heart of love and gratitude. So we serve Him with a heart of love and gratitude, but we also delight in Him. It's like it doing it. I'm happy you've done this for me and all those things. Sorry about that. God bless you. Okay? But it's got to be in our heart. This has got to be a delight. If it's not, it ain't no good. Okay? It's Him. We delight in Him, not His system, not His religion, not His work. And by the way, there's great pleasure in delighting in His work. It is. There's good pleasure in delighting in His work. So delighting in what we do what we do, or those things that we do that are, that's great. But what He's looking for is a one-on-one. How about me? Do you love me, Peter, more than these? Okay. Therefore, that brings me to a song. That's how I know that the Holy Spirit. When I first got saved in 1978, I got saved in a messianic kind of group. They were singing songs that were in the Bible. And people knew that we were Bible-based. So the person that runs the accounting department at the Crum Corporation invited me to go to her house in Alachua. She had horses and stuff. When we got there, he handed me a cassette tape. He said, I saw this, and I thought about you. So I'd like you to have it. I'm going to play a song.
Away.
Sing, O barren one. First verse, Isaiah 54. The word that's used translated sing can also be translated shout for joy. Sing, O barren one, shout for joy, O barren one. Same word. So this is from today's parasha, today's reading. I think that in Kol Simcha it's time to worship the Father, Abba, in spirit and in truth. It says in the Bible, verse 23 of John chapter 4, but an hour is coming. This is he's speaking to the lady in the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. An hour is coming, and it is here now, says the Samaritan woman, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Let the truth be heard. Amen. Thank you. For the Father is seeking such people as his worshipers. You know, okay, so I need to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. But he's looking for people like that. That's always impressed me, okay? God is spirit, verse 24, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So truth is second to the spirit, but it's there. I want to tell you that that this congregation has been striving, the leaders, the ones that speak here and so on, striving to go to truth. We are a truth-seeking congregation. And that doesn't necessarily agree with everybody, because they say, well, wait a minute. What, where do you get anything that you know the truth? The answer is, it's in the book. We can give you the verse number. It's in the book. Which book? The Bible. Where is it in other books? Maybe. Maybe. But if you want insurance, if you want a guarantee, then Yeshua said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And you will know the truth, your word. And it will set you free. So the Bible says, we feel like we're free when we speak the word. We have a freedom that doesn't come from man. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to be popular. It's probably not popular for some of you right now. You're taking a nap. I don't know what else to do, okay? I need some candy to throw at you like I used to at the university. Wake up! Awake, O Jerusalem! Awake! By the way, if you want a guarantee, if the Father's looking for me, He's got a lot more resources than I have looking for Him. Okay? When the Father looks for somebody, He will find him. Okay? We can only find Him when we seek for Him with all our heart. By the way, both result in finding Him. But when He's the one with the resources that he's got way of a better chance, like 100% chance to finding you. Let me read you the scripture. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, O Lord? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Look, you're there too. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle on the other side of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely darkness will cover me. Night keeps light at a distance from me. Verse 12. Even darkness is not dark for you. And night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are all alike to you. Psalm 139, the psalm. PJ's psalm, verse 7 through 12. You see, we say He's omniscient. I mean, He knows everything. He's omnipresent. I mean, He's everywhere, every time, at all the time. And He's omnipotent. He's got all the power. He does. He does. The devil ain't got that. And certainly I don't. You say, is it really possible that the Father would be looking for me? The answer is, Yeshua said it. The answer is, the Son said it. The answer is, out of the horse's mouth it came that. And His word is trustworthy. We need to become true worshipers. And esteem and practice worshiping the Father in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and with truth. Because that's the kind of worshiper that he's looking for. And he always finds what he looks for. In fact, verse 24, okay, they say that the conclusion of this of that verse was that you must, M-U-S-T, no M-U-S-K, not Elon. You must. Yeah, some people got the spirit and forget the truth. Not so many even focus on the truth. So it's hard to find. There is some. We got to do both. We got to do both. And the truth is his word. That means we got to be word people. What word? The Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah. I'm not talking about any other book. Yeshua didn't say anything about anything else. That's the only word they knew. They didn't have, when Yeshua spoke that, the only word that existed was the Tanakh. There was no first Peter. I'm not sure Peter was saved even when Yeshua said this, you know? Oh, you say, well, what do you mean? You're speaking stupidity. Get thee behind me, Satan, he said to him. Okay, so when did he become, stop being Satan? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I want to be sought by the Father. In fact, I want the congregation to be sought by the Father. I want to be found by him practicing that kind of worship, that Holy Spirit kind of worship that is centered in the Word and is centered in the Holy Spirit and living an integral life of truth. This is fundamental to the ministry of our congregation. I am compelled to tell you again that it is written in John 8:32, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. We shall know the Word of God, and the Word of God will make us free. Not we shall know the Constitution of the U.S., and that will make us free. Not we shall know, the song of the Beatles, and that will make us free. No, we shall know the Word. I'm trying to be very careful here. Our world doesn't love truth. Our world doesn't love the Word of God. Our world doesn't love the Word of God. As perfectly predicted by Scripture, that there will come a time when people don't have a heart for it anymore. Okay? The current believing world is much like the Samaritan woman that I quoted here. He said, Yeshua, to the Samaritan woman, you worship what you do not know, but we Jews worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. Well, how do you say salvation in Hebrew? Yeshua is from the Jews. When I got saved, what? Jesus is from the Jews? What? Yeah. Yeshua, in salvation, is from the Jews. The Jews don't want him, I'll take him. I'll make him a Puerto Rican. How sad. One of the ways to evangelize people and tell them about Messianic Judaism is to remind them. You know, Jesus is Jewish. He was born in Bethlehem. outside of Jerusalem, some wise guy will say, oh, he was born in Palestinian territory. There was no such thing as Palestine 2,000 years ago. Don't get me started. I'm not going to get started. Because the truth is that so much of what you hear on the news and on the newspapers and on the radio, almost everything you hear, even in Fox, is bologna. It's not truth. The truth of the matter is that whether you like it or not, the apple of his eye is over there in Jerusalem, over there. At the time of Yeshua, Bethlehem was the birthplace of David, the king. And it was part of the kingdom of David. And it was not in the hand of no Philistine. Okay. Getting ready to finish. If you're bleeding, that's great. However, I want to rest assured, okay, that if we worship the Father with the Holy Spirit and truth, if that becomes our motto here, he will seek us and he will find us. He will. He will find us. So, may we be found in him, in spirit and truth, as we prepare to enter the high holy day season. So I have one more song for you. The song is almost literal from Isaiah 54, today's Haftarah. That was the name of my ministry.
Sing, O barren one.
By the way, we haven't been bearing very
come
many,
and sing
many here,
a
right?
Joyful song.
We're not overwhelmed
for the
with
shame
children, spiritual children here.
And
we're
kind of
barren.
Of
I'm sorry. You want me to give you to cover you with salt, and I'm covering you with the truth. The truth of the matter is, we need
sing
to sing because we're
barren. One, I will prosper you again.
Thank you, Lord. You're talking about Colson House.
For your children shall grow and grow, established in righteousness. For a brief, brief moment, did I turn away from you, now in great loving kindness, will I come and gather you.
In the 70s, I'm coming to the Lord, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And the Holy Spirit arranged for me to come face to face with music like this. Lord, I was as barren as you could get.
Sing, O the mountain and hill should move, my loving kindness will never depart from you. Did I turn away from you?